In the neo-post-apocalyptic wasteland, the last video store on Earth still spreads the lost art of cinema. But during the month of October, its employees and some special guests shine a spotlight on horror! Welcome to the Apocalypse Video Shocktober Spooktacular
Cyber Edition.
I am your creepy virtual avatar, Immortan Hoof.
Put on your squid set, watch some old hope sex videos, and ask yourself if you're paranoid enough. It's strange days.
Have you ever jacked in? Have you ever wire tripped? No? A virgin brain. Well, we're gonna start you off right. This isn't like TV, only better. This is life. Yeah, it's a piece of somebody's life. Pure and uncut. Straight from the cerebral cortex. You're there. You're doing it. Seeing it. Hearing it. You're feeling it. It's about the stuff that you can't have, right? Like running into a liquor store with a .357 Magnum in your hand, feeling the adrenaline pumping through your veins.
I can make it happen.
I can get you anything you want. You just have to talk to me.
Talk to me.
Talk to me.
Talk to me.
I'm your priest. I'm your shrink. I'm your main connection to the switchboard of souls.
I'm the magic man.
The Santa Claus of the subconscious. You say it. You even think it. You can have it. Are we beginning to see the possibilities here? You know you want it.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting installment of the Apocalypse Video Shocktober Spooktacular Cyber Edition. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow... is there a name for the people,
The addicts?
The addicts in this movie?
I don't know.
There definitely is, and I don't remember.
I don't remember, man.
Clippers? I don't know.
I'm joined by my fellow Clippers, Ryan.
Our boy JC, Lord and Savior.
Was he a producer on this?
He wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we'll talk about
that. We'll get into that.
I'm also joined by Jackie.
Oh, paranoia is just reality on a finer scale.
Oh, man.
And joining us now, wearing a pair of amazing leather pants, Michael.
The issue's not whether you're paranoid, Ryan. I mean, look at this shit. The issue is whether you're paranoid enough. Yeah, boy.
Mike, I like your leather pants, but that wig is got to go.
What wig?
Yes, and what wig?
Figuring it out.
Strange Days. Catherine Bigelow's Strange Days, the 1995 sci-fi thriller flop that this kind of like put like a, I don't want to say a pause on her career, but this definitely like a lot of people were like, well, she's done or whatever after this one, right?
Was that the Siskel and Ebert?
They both said it in that exact tone of voice. Really?
She's
weird.
Done.
Well, it was her big, the big old blank check after Point Break. So did we do Point Break this year or was that last year?
That was last year.
Oh, okay.
This was her follow-up to Point Break?
This is the second one afterward, yeah.
Oh, wow, because I was thinking about that. I was like, there had to have been a movie in between because Point Break was 91. This is 95. That's a pretty large gap.
You know, there's sometimes there's an issue with women directing. They sometimes have big breaks in between their movies.
What are you talking about?
It kind of happens a lot. She's been making movies for 30 years, has made like 8, you know, so there may be an issue
there.
This also seems like the kind of movie that took some... This doesn't seem like a quick time. One.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I can imagine a movie like this having a hard time, even with Bigelow's name and Cameron's name attached. Like, I can imagine this movie having some trouble finding some financing because the whole it takes place in the future of 1999. And also, it's just kind of a weird concept. Like, I got to imagine, especially for the mid-90s, that this would have been a little weird.
It's really funny that, like, this is knowing it's a 95 movie because the, like... And it's set in 1999. Like, they knew what 1995 looked like. Like, what do they think was happening in these four years?
Well, I almost wonder if this is like an alternate reality or something.
Maybe. It was also originally written by Cameron in 86. So there's at least like a slightly larger gap of like, what's going to happen, you know, 15 years from
now? They should have set it in like 2015
or
something.
You need that 2K? Yeah. You need that backdrop of 2K?
I think that's probably his original thing was like, that's a big, you know, that's probably where he started.
The new millennium, you know? I get it. It was large in the consciousness because what if everything ends? What if all the computers decide that they can't count and that they hate you and that they're gonna kill you?
But man, it has gone downhill in the last 4 years.
Which I don't. It's like, it has in our reality. It kind of has in some way.
This reminded me of the way
I wasn't talking about the movie, Ryan.
The way LA looks in this movie reminded me of Dave, the way you talk about like seeing New York portrayed on screen as a kid, and you're well, that's just what New York's
I'm afraid of New York.
Yep.
But it's like, you know,
this is what they portray Portland like on
exactly. It's also this is Fox Fox News depiction of
fire.
any city.
It's still on fire.
Cars on fire everywhere you turn. But you can still drive in your car and like go do drugs somewhere. It's fine.
You got to get an armored
bulletproof limo. It's no big deal. Like you'll have to drive around cars on fire, but
they're
you won't even notice.
It, you know?
You get used to it. I have a lot of questions about this world.
I've been wanting to do this from the show for a long time. I know, and should we talk about there's controversy or whether this would fit into this month of movies. Should we talk about this?
Oh, like the fact it's not a horror movie
at all.
Well, I think here's my thing.
Depends on what you're horrified by.
I think when Dave threw out what we're doing, this was something that came to mind first, and I think I think it does fit half of the criteria of cyber.
Definitely,
cyber.
I would put an argument that, and maybe this is just me. That this is more real, is more horrific than any kind of horror that's like ghosts and goblins
that's the thing,
stuff. This is horror. This is
goblins.
You're not going to get Lawnmower Man probably in your life, but like, you know, racism and like rape culture is a thing that exists and could affect you.
It's a
theory.
It falls into that thriller subcategory.
It is a thriller. I'll agree.
It definitely is a thriller.
But there's horrific scenes. I would say.
Yeah, but that's like saying like Saving Private Ryan is a horror movie.
Because war is hell.
It's portrayed kind of like a slasher in a way in some parts.
That's what I would say. When we get to the most kind of like upsetting stuff and the POV rape scenes and the sexual violence in general, it's like that is a horror movie.
There's definitely some slasher stuff going on here. Like some of these scenes could be scenes from Silence of the Lambs or something like that.
I'm not mad about it, Ryan. I know it's like we had some
I'm still gonna file a report, so
you could put me to HR. I don't know, it's fine.
Well, you're just lucky Cody is it on the episode. Because he gets mad about
that's
those
why I wanted
issues.
To. I thought he would.
I think you are HR here.
I wanted him to. This is one I've been wanting to play because I was like, this is just perfect. Kind of. I mean, it's intense thing. And but no, I do think it. It is in a weird way, and I think it's tough finding a good sci-fi horror, but I think this is gonna, this to me, I've been wanting, this is an excuse to do this movie, I think.
Well, it's like the list was,
it slipped
the list
in,
of,
okay?
The list of what could be good movies was kind of slim, I thought, unless you went into like Asylum films and stuff, which I don't think any of us wanted to get into.
Well, when part of the criteria is cyber, which is such a dated and specific kind of thing, it's like, well, that skews a little bit goofy, is the truth. There's no way around it.
There is something to be said, though. I'm sure we'll get into the scene more, but when you have a scene like the aforementioned POV rape scene, I gotta say, like, that scene, like, the movie kept going, but, like, I was still paused, like,
wild.
Internally. Like, I can't believe what I just saw. And it was, like, one of those things where the movie, like I said, the movie kept going and the events were unfolding, but, like, I was still stuck back in that scene because I'm, like, I was thinking of the implications and just, like, you know, I guess we'll get into it, but, like, he's feeling everything. She's feeling what he is feeling, and it's just upsetting on so many levels, because, like, my brain kept, like, unlocking, like, another fucked
up thing
about
that
scene. It feels
like you're watching,
like, oh, God.
A snuff film. Like,
well,
it is.
That's what they say in the movie,
It is one of the most upsetting things I have ever seen in a movie.
I've ever seen,
yeah. I think.
It was just the implications.
Thanks for this,
like,
pick.
Sorry.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks, Ryan.
I'm blaming Bigelow.
Yeah, but
she
made this. She was.
Well, who wants? I guess this probably should fall to Ryan since he chose it. But who wants to try to explain the plot of Strange Days?
It's a tough one. There's a lot of. It's doing almost too much. This movie, I would say.
Yep.
Almost. It's. I mean, just to put it into just a little bit, because no one really saw this movie, and I didn't even know it existed until probably like a few years ago. And I was just like, oh, wow, like, this is huge. And there's like, I don't know, when do you see like Ralph Fiennes, or is it Ralph? Is that how you say it? Ray or
it's,
Ralph?
It's
or?
Rafe, Rafe, even though it's spelled Ralph.
Ralph, old Ralph Fiennes, old Voldemort Fiennes. Himself, like straight off of freaking, like,
Oscar
I don't know.
Schindler.
It was
after Oscar Schindler's List.
Yeah, and he wasn't Oscar Schindler.
No,
he played a very different character in Schindler's List.
But I'm just like,
he was Nazi McGerman.
Like, you never see him like this as like an action kind of guy.
I was thinking that same thing. This is the only time I can think of where I've ever seen Ralph Fiennes not play a character that's in some sort of
like that has
higher
it together.
Status.
Yeah, has it together.
You know what I mean?
But,
or like a leader or something like that.
I'll just try to make it short because there's just too many things to go through the whole thing. But it's basically
it's
1999, and it's pretty normal. Like, I would say pretty grounded, except there's like technology that's sort of a VR,
CIA.
Yeah, like that's like basically you put like a little squid they call it on your head,
which stands
and then
for something. But...
It's like, oh God, what is it? It's a really funny thing is what it's called, but it's basically like you can experience like VR, but you actually experience like the visuals and the feelings of like things that are happening. And so there's
smells,
guys,
you're seeing someone's like, you know, POV, but you get all of physical, like, feelings and like physiological feelings, so that if they are, for instance, like falling from a building and dying in that first scene that we see, it's like you get that bolt at the end of like, oh, I just died, which is why Ralph Fiennes doesn't deal with that snuff shit.
Man.
Yeah, he's kind of like a dealer, and it's sort of like there's
he's
a mixture
also like
of
a director.
There's kind of he even does a part where like there's like a thing where it's after the rape thing. I keep bringing that up, but like where they do the whole hands directing thing, like, you know, the whole you know, director putting his fingers up kind of thing. And I was like, oh God, Cameron is going nuts or whatever came up with this. But and basically there's like people are using it recreationally. It's sort of drug, kind of like addicting, it seems like. And it's in this kind of
drugs and pornography and like POV. You're a guy with legs, but actually you don't have legs.
That was.
You ever want to see what it's like to rob a liquor store?
That was his save the cat moment. that was old Ralph's save the cat moment, was giving that guy with no legs the
legs.
That's how you knew he was a good guy. That was the the check mark off the Save the Cat book right there.
And the guy, yeah, and it cuts back to the guy with the squid thing on his head, and he starts crying like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, so that was like...
I even threw a sexy lady running in the opposite direction.
Just for you.
Kind of Matrix-y you, a little bit, before Hi. Matrix kind of vibes a little bit. But yeah, very kind of Matrix, I would say. But it's kind of like the whole idea, and it gets wrapped up in, you know, there's just drug deals, but there's also this kind of... It's sort of a B plot, but kind of the central thing is that there's this famous rapper that was like a revolutionarist that gets killed. And so that's kind of like the beginning of the movie a little bit. And there's also these things with like these sex workers getting popped off, kind of murder mystery noir stuff. And then
there's some sweaty cops, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Bad cops going on.
God, the other guy, shit.
It's like a tangled web of a William bunch of different Fichtner. Things. Like yeah, maybe, Fichtner. Yeah. Yeah, freaking Vickner and D'Onofrio, the scariest men in show business.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, yeah. There's
poster boys for the LAPD. Yeah.
There's almost, like, too many things, but it's, like, a whole web of all these, like, things of, like, drug deals and sex workers and this rapper getting killed and all kind of leaning up to the end of the millennium. Mm-hmm. And we have our characters. Yeah, we have Ray Fiennes, Ralph.
Lenny I'm going to keep calling him Ralph. He's Irish or something.
I'm just going to call him Ralph.
Lenny Nero is his name.
Hey, it's me, Lenny.
Yeah, his
he
limo.
He doesn't have a bad American accent, but it is just, again, fun it's to definitely, kind of see him in that role.
He's very much like, yeah, I'm a good old American.
Hey, take my Rolex.
Oh, God, the Rolexes.
There's always politics. Like this thing we're in here, like he's paying you to tune me up. And I mean, hey, listen, I could pay you more than that, too. You see what I mean? I could write you a check right now.
I gotta go.
Okay, cash. Here's everything I have on me. Oh, look, what do you say? How about a Rolex?
I got a real one. Come on, it won't hurt too bad. It's nothing personal.
Just 1 second. Just 1 second, please. It's my jacket. It's really expensive. And just not the eyes.
What else you got? You got his limo driver buddy, Angela Bassett, where they have a history with, because he was an ex-cop kind of thing. Like every
total
noir.
Babe in this movie. Holy cow.
Okay, when I looked up the names out, she's incredible. She's so fucking gorgeous. And when I looked up the list of characters afterwards, Mace. Her name is Mace Mason. That was a choice.
Maybe that's like her professional name, you know? Well, the name she uses.
It looks like
maybe
this was written by James Cameron. Lurnette Mace Mason. So Mace is her last name shortened, I guess.
Mace Mason.
That's funny, though. You got Juliette Lewis with no clothes on the whole movie, which, you know,
she's
cool.
She's
great.
Well, yeah, look, I'm not going to get mad at that. But she's the ex-girlfriend of Lenny's, who is like the one that got away, who's now wrapped up with an evil music producer and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's another thing. I hated that guy, that freaking vampire music guy.
What did you hate about him?
Oh, that guy! I like seeing that guy pop up because he has such a unique voice.
He does look like a vampire. Look and sound like a vampire.
What's his name? Yep. Is it Michael Wincott? Yeah, What else is he?
I think his newest biggest movie recently was Nope. He was the cameraman.
Yes,
in Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he's so good at that.
Yeah, he is good in that.
I kept thinking he was who's the guy? Bill Nighy. That's like the vibe I was getting.
That would be an interesting.
I think probably before this, his biggest claim to fame was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He was Alan Rickman's like cousin or something.
Yeah, he would be.
He looks like he was in The Crow, also type of thing.
Oh, yeah. The Crow! You know, I've never seen The Crow.
That'd be put that for another Halloween
for a future episode.
Maybe we'll do like a goth Halloween.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, good one.
That's an idea.
Let's just do that now. No,
Craft five times.
Let's stop the podcast. Watch a goth.
Let's
movie.
Let's just drag the cyber the Shocktober
and Crow, which is the tube, the boy and the girl goth movie.
You know what?
I just watched
I'll tell
the,
you guys,
the Craft.
I'll just
wow,
drag the Shocktober Cyber Edition file into the recycle bin, and we'll just load up Goth Night.
Okay,
Goth Night.
Yeah,
well, we were trying cyber, but we all just decided that classic goth is really more our thing.
Yeah. Very, very much like a 90s vibe, this, for these Christmas. It was Christmas. It's Halloween. This is Christmas.
Christmas in a second.
But, yeah, I mean, that's, and then also, you have, the shady buddy that's played by Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, Max.
Who's
another ex-cop who's like a PI, you know, he's this good time friend who keeps showing up, and helping in some way.
He definitely looks like someone who, Juliette Lewis would be attracted to.
Well, spoilers.
Like, he is,
you know, in a way it gave me hope, you know.
Honestly, once again, let's all get some Tom Sizemore wigs and really show him.
Yeah.
Speaking of spoilers, was anyone surprised that he was ultimately revealed as the bad guy?
I kept thinking that he was gonna be murdered, but then at the end, I think Michael next to me was like, oh it's him. I was like,
I think it was one of those things, like, I didn't think it from the beginning or anything, but I think it was like probably a half hour before it's revealed, it's like, it's him.
Yeah,
because,
it was,
I mean, the evil music producer is like so obviously evil.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's like one of the cool things about the movie, though, like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this movie. I don't know if I liked it. Maybe I did, but...
Same. I agree with you.
Yeah, I do think one of the things that it does really well is the mystery of, like, who the killer is, and kind of, like, keeps you thinking, like, oh, it could be this person or it could be this person. I like that.
I thought even at one point it was going to, like, D'Onofrio, the cop, was going to come back into it because he's such a good bad guy, like, such a good, creepy villain. But it was like... One, it was, I know, just earlier in his career, so we didn't really have that reputation for that yet. But two, that, like, no, he's just a murderer. He's not.
He gives that that Full Metal Jacket stare at the end of the movie. For sure. Like, he, I got my guy running around. I would say, I mean, I'm more mixed positive on this movie. I was more, like, flabbergasted that it existed the first time I saw it, too. there's a lot of interesting stuff I haven't really seen in a movie. And I was like, why even more people seen this kind of thing?
Yeah.
So watching a second time, there's definitely issues. And it's a little bit, like, maybe too, a little bit, trying to do a little bit too much. But I do appreciate the swing. It's a Southland Tales.
You know? Don't say that.
I could see that. No, I was agreeing with. I think that it gets into the ballpark of a Southland Tales type movie a bit.
Like, there's so many things, but, like, I don't know. I think at the time when I watched it, I was like, wow, nothing has changed in a weird way. It's just crazy.
It's very. I think I am more kind of on your side, Ryan, where I feel mixed positive about it, and the things that I think it does very well, and very, like, just shocking on purpose and effective in that way, is the sexual violence. But with the, I wrote some notes about it even, because I was like, this isn't leaving me, that the stuff about race and police brutality feels a lot more dated in that, in like a post 2020, like, world, like the idea that, like, oh, this footage, this of, you know, this squid footage of Jericho, this famous rapper and like political kind of like figurehead, it's footage of him being point blank murdered by police, and they're basically saying while they do it, like, you're that rapper who hates police, and
yeah,
and
it's a little bit, it's along the nose about it. Yeah.
Motherfucker kicked me, man.
It's that Brad Banks.
You're that rapper, Pew. Jericho won. You're the one that's been getting all the gangbangers together, going downtown, forming citizen groups, trying to rake the LAPD over a cheese grater.
Yeah, that's right. And you're gonna be in my next song. It's gonna be called Robo Steckler. It's all about a cop who met his worst nightmare. A nigga with enough political juice to squash his ass like a stink bug. You're gonna be famous, fucker.
I don't think so.
The idea is that, like, oh, if this footage gets out, like, everything's gonna change. And the fact is that, like, you know, not to be a bummer, but, like, we live in a world where that kind of very graphic mm-hmm. police brutality and murder is, you can find it. That footage exists and nothing changes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
It's also, like, it definitely has the take of, well, some bad apples.
Yeah,
like,
but
like,
thank goodness there's a good cop.
Yeah, and he's the one in charge. Like, you just gotta, you just gotta talk to the boss.
Good commissioner at the end. I was like, no movie, no, you no.
Like, that's not how this works.
No, yeah. Like the moment of she, Angela Bassett tries to give him the footage, and he is immediately just dismissive. I was like, oh well, yeah, absolutely. That's how that would go. He either would dismiss it outright or would cover it up, because
it's definitely
the real world.
That's the most
version
fantastical
of this.
Part of this is that there's a good cop at the top who's like, well, we need to punish these
arrest those
men.
Officers.
Yeah, like the way this would happen is like those cops are placed on a paid vacation for like 6 months while an investigation goes on, and then it's like, oh, actually, you're getting an award for bravery.
And so there's a lot, you know, that I think I'm not saying that, like, Catherine Bigelow was like, and I'm going to write the perfect propaganda, like, but she clearly has, like, a lot of, you know, progressive, like, feelings, and, like, clearly feels strongly about this, but it just feels...
It's more like, it's glass half full, I would say. You know, it's like hopefully this could be better. I don't know. It's like...
I think the thing is, it's not the takeaway... And I think maybe the benefit of, at least especially as a white person with hindsight, maybe non-white people knew this all along, but the idea of, like, it's not the system, like, the take in this movie is, like, it's not the system that's the problem, it's the bad apples. You just got to get rid of the bad apples, and, like, I think we've learned that's not quite the case.
It's also, and I wanted to kind of loop this back around to what I think is the most effective part of the movie with, like, the POV rape thing, which is so upsetting and so effective. The whole concept of, for both in text for the characters and for the audience, it's like, you are not allowed to look away. You are in it. You are part of it. It's horrible. And that's the point. You're to the point where it's like, you, the viewer, are complicit in the sexual violence. And
it's
I think that is I really do like how, like, fucked up all of that is. But
it's
on the same kind of or just on the other hand, the it's a similar idea with, we need to get this tape of this police brutality out, and you're not allowed to look away. You're not allowed to look away.
Yeah,
from,
you have to watch this. You know?
But, you know, again, it's like, are you the white writers and director, like, the one to hold that image up for people to look at? Is, like, you know, Mace, a black woman, going to be looking away? No, she never would be allowed to, because that's the life she lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, again, I think it is, there's messiness, but I do just... like this movie.
In that moment when he looks at the tape and sees, like, the Jericho guy get shot, he's with Angela Bassett, Mace Mason, which we'll call her.
Mace Mason herself.
And he's like, "You have no, I can't tell you.
You
have
to
see
look
it.
At it."
And I'm
like,
"You could have just told her."
Well, no,
it's not like
I think it just I don't know. Like, he's just it's I think it's going a little bit with what Jackie was saying. It's like, you know, how it's almost like forcing you to watch this is like, it's almost like you can't just, like, turn a blind eye to this shit going on. I think that's, like, the metaphor a little bit going on, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you're right. It's messy, but, like, at least I just, like, it. I don't think it's at least it's trying to be, I don't know. It's, like, in good intentions, I think, you know, at least
I think
for
so.
What it is.
I think the problem, my main problem with the movie was, I think it's way too indulgent. There is, and Mike, I'm wondering if you agree with me. You and I usually drive on this point, but I think you could easily cut 30 to 40 minutes from this movie. Because there are several...
40, but you could cut 30.
You definitely there are several, felt the length.
There are several scenes that repeat, and it's essentially the same scene like three or four times. Like,
this was
how 100%. Many fucking times do we have to go back to that club, watch him get beat up and thrown out, and then he goes back and does the same thing again? I was like, what are we doing here?
Beat up, and then he goes to Juliet Lewis. She's like, leave me alone, get out of here. And then he gets beat up again. He goes back. She says, leave me alone, get out of here.
Oh, my God.
We kind of trimmed a little bit of that.
The Rolex bit. Like,
I like the Rolex bit just because everyone is like, well, I don't want your shitty fake watch.
Well, that's like a funny recurring joke. That's one
that it never works.
they do repeat a lot.
Watching
this
movie, I had to pause for a second to pee, and it was definitely like one of those moments where it's like, oh yeah, there's probably like a half hour left. Pause and like, oh my god! looking at the timeline and like, we're halfway. Like, it was intimidating.
I mean, I always give Mike shit about any movie that's over, you know, 88 minutes. Yeah, basically, if it's longer than a YouTube video, Mike's
kind of down.
I tend to agree. I agree with this. I think it's a repetitive thing where it's like, I feel like there's not necessarily, like, it's like all there. Like, there's a big chunk in the first part of the movie that's just kind of like, doing, like, there's no inciting incident probably for like 45 minutes or something.
Sure.
Or
it was kind of driving me nuts.
The nugget of like the Jericho has been killed. It's like that happens, you know, on a TV in the background.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I feel like I didn't realize when that happened what was going on.
Because it kind of, for the first part, it feels like it's maybe just set dressing. It's like establishing this like gritty, grody world. Because we're also
I like that a little bit. I think that's kind
of
cool.
And also, it's while we're learning the rules of like the squid stuff. And
yeah, the squid stuff was cool.
I like, hey, well, let's talk about the cyber of it all. But that's, yeah, it would be like, okay, and now we're at retinal fetish, and we're going to spend 5 minutes looking around this nasty club.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there's like things like you have like the sex worker running away from the cops, and that's like in the very beginning, pretty much. And there's like things like it kind of like leaves like a little bit at, you know, in there before it kind of like starts kind of bringing the pieces together. Yeah. I do agree that there's a little bit like it does. Like, I think you're right. I think there probably could have been like a good 20 minutes, like kind of it just needed to be like tightened up in a way where I think like things needed to happen a little bit more like smoothly, where it feels like a little bit more of like, okay, now we're here. And it was close though. I think there's like the pieces there.
One moment where it's very noticeable to me was the very end, where it's like, why is the movie still going? Like the events have concluded themselves. Like, there's a really bizarre edit at the end where everything's wrapped up. The two cops are killed, the two bad cops. The police commissioners come and he knows, you know, and for some reason, Ralph Fiennes and Angela Bassett are just like, all right, well, we both got to go now. I guess I'll get in this car and then I'll drive away. And then, oh, wait, stop. Oh, hey, I'm back. You know what I mean? I'm just like, what was the point of that? Just have them kiss at the end. Yeah. Why do you have this moment of them splitting up for no reason?
It was just sort of like the realizing that they have each other. I don't know. Like, they kind of like they were kind of.
They already knew that.
Yeah, but they were kind of like, I don't know. Like, they were sort of like this sort of. I don't know. It was cute.
It felt like the end of Mulan, where it's like you think they're gonna kiss or whatever, and then the Shang is like, "You fight good," and then it's like, "Oh, okay, bye." And then like the 5 more minutes, and he shows up at her house, and he's like, "Hi, I like you."
It was sort of like they've always been so like business and stuff, and like not really like indulging in that, and something sparked in them or something where they were just he was just like, you know what, like. What am I doing? I'm going to be trapped in this circle or something. I don't know. I didn't mind that part. I like that. I like the little prologue thing like that. And it was cool. Like, there's that shot of, like, her and, like, the confetti behind her. It's beautiful.
All of the confetti is so...
That freaking... It looked like there's a kajillion people on that street. Yeah. It's nuts. A
lot of extras, yeah. And that was another thing I mentioned. Like, the movie... Like, the world is a little weirdly undefined. Like... So at the end of the movie, it's this New Year's celebration in what looks like the heart of downtown LA, and
but we're not. But without this is like one little center, without any cars on fire until we start lighting some cars on fire.
Well, but that's the weird thing. Like throughout this movie, it like the military and police presence, not counting, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio and William Fichtner, the two cops.
Those are like beat cops, basically.
Well, it's like, it's weirdly defined because, like, you know, I
there's
feel like
full on
least,
tanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's tanks going around. And it's like, it seems like every single scene transition involves them in a car driving around while people are, like, you know, blowing shit up or running around.
Or beating up Santa Claus.
It's like full on, like, war zone. It reminds me of Bo is Afraid. It's like that. The first part of Bo is Afraid. That's
well,
funny.
it's just odd because in this last scene, all that's happened. We have all the buildup where the Jericho guy was killed, and it's like the military doesn't appear to be like roughing anyone up. It's like it seems like some people weirdly like go right past them. It's like I'm not even exactly sure what they're doing as far as crowd control. They're just kind of walking around.
There's like, I don't know. That it kind of. Again,
like you expect them to be roughing people up, like get in line or something like that, but they
don't.
There's
again like a messiness where it feels like it is going to be like a comment on like the like viciously segregated classism in a place like LA or, you know, but if it were that, it feels like it would be a little more like clear cut because it's like, yeah this the famous producer and his like entourage and Juliette Lewis, like, of course they would be. They wouldn't be just strolling down.
They would be ushered through.
They'd be in a more protected area, whereas like all the rest of you rabble can drive around LA that's burning, but not us. But it's never, it's a lot less loosely defined than that. And then partway through the New Year's Eve celebration, it's like, oh, now we're like destroying cars and now we're fucking shit up. And it's like, okay, so it's just everywhere, I guess. Never. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Just kind of like a backdrop, I suppose, with just like the stuff going on and just like just scary world out there. Strange
it's
days after
pretty,
all.
Well, it almost, it's pretty strange
there
days.
There were several times when I was watching where I was like, okay, so wait a minute. Is it only like this as a result of Jericho getting killed, or was it just always like this? Like, I feel like it never really picks a lane as to, like,
I mean, it's obviously,
it's exacerbated by Jericho getting killed, but it,
well, Catherine Bigelow has specifically talked about how, like, you know, obviously the Rodney King murder and the riots after that were a significant, like, influence on this kind of story and would, you know, kind of lend again to that visual of, like, L.A. is just on fire and the people will take any excuse to have a riot. But it's also, like, you know, again, to the point of, like, why would this footage of Jericho being murdered change anything if already we're rioting every day and lighting cars on fire and shit? Like,
because they don't, because again,
because
like,
it specifically is because he's so famous and he's like talking about race and racism that it would be more effective or what?
I'm like, how is it going to escalate? Like, they already have tanks. Like, what?
Yeah.
Is it just going to be full on?
Are they going
like,
to nuke LA?
Yeah, they're just going to open fire on crowds, which also at the end, Vincent D'Onofrio starts
crazy.
Open firing on the crowd.
Wild.
Everyone's
nuts.
Like, oh, that's weird.
That was crazy.
I mean, I guess I think the scene in that moment is like it's saying like the music is so loud and fireworks are going off that it's, I guess, masking the shots.
Or that
I
like
think
it's, these days are so strange that like, oh, we're used to this.
But yeah, it's like it's a weird it's a weird issue with this movie I had where it's like people I feel like don't react the way they should to the events happening in the movie.
But, I mean, I guess also I would to play devil's advocate again argue that when there are, you know, riots or protests or etc. happening, it is extremely easy for other groups to just be like, anyway, I'm gonna go get my latte now. I'm gonna go.
Well, I mean, I get that, but I mean, like, specifically the people that are there at the scene,
at the party.
That's what I mean. Like, they're not reacting the way they should. Like, oh my god, this cop just shot
like at the very
three
least,
people.
You and your friends would like run away.
You would run.
Did you guys read about the like what how they shot this like?
Yeah,
party scene.
It's cool.
They like they shot like a big. They had 10,000 people.
That's cool.
Whoa.
And
who
this
has
is
to pay $10.
Yeah,
to
that's
be part
some
of it.
That's some good Hollywood movie magic there. Make the extras pay you.
That's amazing.
To be fair, this was part of the Cameron blank check, but Bigelow did not receive Cameron-style dollars for this project. And so, you know, you got to get your money where you can.
Yeah, it said $750,000 was spent on this. And they had, like, musicians. They had, like, Aphex Twin
they
there,
had, like,
which
actual,
is
like,
wild.
Acts.
So it was, like, a concert that they were filming.
Yeah, basically. But, and interesting, so it started at 9 at night, and it was scheduled to end at 4 a.m., but they had to cut it short because 5 people were overdosed on ecstasy.
Oh, my God.
Dang
oh,
jeez. You guys.
Ruin the party.
We told you don't overdose.
Yeah, it's
like
wild.
A few people were actually killed by cops, too.
Yeah.
Well, Vincent D'Onofrio was way too method about it, and he did murder 2 people.
His energy in this movie is very reminiscent of Full Metal Jacket, where at the end when he just puts his gun... Oh, no, it's Fichtner who puts a gun in his mouth.
Who, eats the bullet, but...
He's inspired by
D'Onofrio.
Like,
no!
No, that guy made a career off that face that he makes in Full Metal Jacket.
Scariest faces in the biz.
Just that damn fucking Edgar himself, you know? Sugar. he's great. I wish he was in more stuff.
Totally.
I mean, he was a TV guy for a long, long time.
That's
he's true, like,
yeah,
he got his TV dollars.
Yeah,
it's wild to think that he's only 2 years away from Men in Black in this movie.
Wow. Yeah.
He looks. I mean, everyone in this movie.
He looks
so
really
young.
Good. Yeah, and he looks young. There's. What'd you guys think about that first POV, which is sort of it brings you into like a heist?
It was really cool. Definitely like. Oh, this feels very Bigelow. Like, she's really good at, like, compelling action stuff. Like, I was thinking of Point Break or The Hurt Locker, where it's, like, very... She's good at making the action feel very visceral.
Yeah.
Like, you could do first person. It's not just the fact it's first person. Like, we've all seen, first person done in movies before. And it's not always this effective, I think. And I think it's like it's more than just the fact it's POV. Like it's really well directed, I thought. I really liked the way the POV stuff was done. And
was I the only one who was getting dizzy watching that opening sequence?
I told you not to watch it with the VR set on, Dave. I
didn't get dizzy.
No, I didn't either. I feel like it's done pretty well, and it's not that long. Me a little bit.
Yeah, it's like just enough time to be like, okay, we're in the world, we're doing it, there's stakes, oh, this guy's dead, and then bam, we're Ray Fiennes being like, Jesus, Tick, don't.
Well,
oh yeah, that's guy from Mario, then we just do that, talk about he's
oh that's right, yeah, the what was it, the Super Koopa cousins or whatever.
Yeah, he's one of those. It was the one that wasn't Fisher Stevens.
Yeah.
And speaking of wigs, that guy—the
guy who steals Ferris Bueller's car.
Oh yeah,
I agree. I think
Cameron's
and again,
dad's car.
I've said this before. I think I said it on the Point Break episode, but like, I really wish Catherine Bigelow would direct another action film because she's so good at it.
Yeah.
And despite me getting a little dizzy in that opening sequence, like I was relieved because I was worried that every single squid POV moment in the movie was going to be like the camera's whipping around super fast and running around, and it's like that's the only one that's like that.
Yeah. There's a lot more kind of even-handedness to the rest of them, I feel like.
Well,
yeah, one is intentionally like, here we are. We're in it. It's, you know, the emotions are high. The cops are here. We're running. And it works.
Yeah.
And then, again, it works to then cut to Ray Fiennes being like, I can't use that shit. Come on.
And it is impressive. Like, that moment when the guy jumps from one roof to the other, you're like, whoa. You know what I mean? And it's all in camera. It's like, it's pretty well done.
Yeah, the one that's the Jericho murder reminds me of the scene in Children of Men because it's in the middle of a car and it's kind of spinning around and stuff like that. And there's a lot; those are cool. I mean, like that was one of the things I really I liked about this movie a lot because I was just like, there's not a lot of movies that do that, or if they do it, it's kind of annoying. But this felt cool.
Well, should we get into kind of like the? I mean, we've talked about it, but like the. Pretty much like the core scene of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of anything before getting into too deep of stuff, but it's like, yeah, like the whole, you know, we're kind of following him around and getting in his world and meeting his friends and, and
his deals.
Doing his deals. And one of my notes was like, there's the part where he's sort of, he meets like a lawyer at a club.
The preppy guy.
And he kind of does like his spiel of like...
he explains the rules.
Like, yeah, that felt a little late to me, didn't it? I felt like I already got it. I already knew that was the vibe because we had so many of these squid moments of him coming out of it.
Less like it's partly explaining the rules, but it's, I think, also just like a character moment to be like, oh, this is Lenny. He's the he's slime. He's a salesman. He's he's got a spark, even though you can tell he's grubby.
Yeah. So it's kind of like to me, and this is one of my negatives on the movie, and how like I think that it does feel long, and I feel like there's maybe like scenes shuffled around a little bit, where I feel like that is almost like a scene you would have before we get to experience the thing. And in a way, like, I don't know, it just kind of felt like I already got that from like some of the other things, and so it was I don't know, this movie kind of feels like that in a vibe where there's almost like this weird shuffle they were trying to make with like the way scenes should be played out. And I think that's maybe why it kind of clunks a little bit.
Yeah. But, like you were saying earlier, Ryan, it's like it just feels like there are a lot of balls in the air and they're not necessarily all juggled the way you want.
Like, yeah. And I think it's like, it's not like I would cut out like one. I think it's interesting having both the execution, cop execution, and the rape thing is kind of like similar sort of things, and I don't know. It's not quite. It doesn't quite gel perfectly.
Yeah, it doesn't all land, in one piece.
Yeah, but yeah, we got like you mentioned this before. I think we started recording, but the club retinal fetish.
It's retinal fetish,
which is this kind of like.
So much smoke and like chain link fence inside the club.
Well, and when you see Juliette Lewis basically wearing a chain link shirt the whole movie.
The vibe in this club is really weird.
Everything looks so grimy,
but also expensive. There's a lot of set. If you're an owner of the owner of this club is investing a lot of money into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's also like there's also the scene where you kind of get old Ralph. Lenny has like a whole shoebox of all his recordings with Juliette Lewis.
Uh-huh. And, that's yikes.
Well, you don't like that? You don't like the roller skating and after sex?
No, just the it's the equivalent of like
you
keeping
kept all of your ex's nudes and you're just you
have it in like a weird box.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of like having like your box of all your like notes you passed in school.
That's the more romantic
I guess that's what I was more going the romantic side than like the
well it seemed like side. Everything he was watching was just sex stuff.
It's like, yay, we're really skating, this is so fun, and
I'm wearing
tits,
like the smallest bikini bottom ever made
outfit with like a little sweater top and a body chain and some bikini bottoms.
Well, it's like there's literally like a scene where it's like it's them having sex, and it's so funny, like, because it'll show like the POV stuff, and then it cuts to like Ralph sitting, and like I totally fully expected him to have like both of his hands up,
making squeezing gestures. Yeah.
Well, there's literally a scene where he's just like, all right, well, I'm gonna skip to the good stuff.
Let
skip,
me just
skip,
press
skip.
Okay, skip the top off. Great.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's
it's the kind of thing that I'm guessing. Juliette Lewis's character would like not be stoked that he has this box.
Oh yeah, maybe. But also he has like, remember, like you see in the mirror, sorry Jackie, but he has like a little bandana like over his head like,
to hide the squid.
Does you think he does she know that he has the squid on, do you think?
That's
for that
the thing. Okay,
that would be the bad thing if she was okay with it.
That's the thing that
I bet she knows.
I do have my other kind of point of critique is that we don't like the Juliette Lewis character at the end of the day is like, she's a sex worker. She's a drug addict. She's like double crossing him.
She does it all.
She's rocking. She's a rocking girl.
It's like, why?
She's the singer for Hole.
She's PJ Harvey. She's Courtney Love. But that like in that flashback scene with her and Lenny, she has a line of like, do you want me to wear it? Also with the implication that he introduced her, or not implication, he outright says it. He introduced her to this technology when she was, quote, like selling $20 blowjobs for crank. And it's it ends up being like a remarkably unsympathetic like take on why this woman would do anything. And at the end, she goes off in the cop car to be arrested because she was part of the murder, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like she was in text like a sex worker that Lenny then showed this like illicit like thing to, which changed her life in better and worse ways. And she's a singer, but that like she is caught up in the like the voyeurism of the product that we see later with the reveal that she and Max were working together, that he's the rapist, that this second POV rape scene with her is not actually a rape scene. But again, it's like, what's the take here? That a woman living in rape culture is just as culpable of the rape culture? It's like, I don't like that.
It's like, do you think that she... Like, was he kind of, like, using, not using her, but she was, like, they had an OnlyFans together, basically. Was that the idea, I guess, in the beginning?
I don't know that he like, Lenny originally, you know, was kind of like a pimp to her, maybe. But that throughout the movie, she seems to genuinely, like, want to keep him out of this. And at the end, I guess we're supposed to believe so that she doesn't get in trouble, but it's like... I guess there was no human feeling then. I guess she feels nothing. She's just a
She kind of helps him though. There's like a point where he's about to get shot, and she like stops him from getting shot. Yeah. I don't know. It's muddy. It's another one of those balls that kind of falls.
And it doesn't really do any kind of favors for her, which I think is a missed opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah, I can see that. But I don't know. I thought that was an interesting scene because it's like, how often do you just that long of just like this kind of like voyeuristic? It's very like you said the movie has this really weird vibe with that kind of stuff. And she also likes taking her sink baths, I noticed, too.
Baths, yeah, every time.
That's kind of mirroring. It's you know, they mirror it in the club, the mirror and the sink bath that happened in the memory, you know. Some filmmaking,
bro.
Used
to be so happy.
No, I don't know. It's interesting. I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure we brought that up. What do you think about that scene, Dave?
the sink baths, the many sink baths.
No, like you know, would you go roller skating with Juliette Lewis and Venice Beach or whatever they were?
Yeah. Are you asking if I would do that or if I would watch a squid video of them doing that?
Yep.
Choice.
POV, you're going roller skating with your hot girlfriend Juliette Lewis on Venice Beach. Would you buy that squid?
Would you squid if you watched that?
Would you squid?
$9.99.
No,
that's
you,
very reasonable.
Would you subscribe to their OnlyFans if you had? Yeah.
There's a lot of content to them rollerblading. It's not really what I got this OnlyFans for.
Well, if you pay extra, you get to see you after we go back to our shitty apartment and I take a sink bath.
Yeah, do you want to see...
That looks like a cool apartment. I was like, damn, that was cool.
No, that's
like,
the best looking apartment in the movie. All the rest of them look like shit.
I was like,
do you
want to
see people having sex in the grossest locations you've ever seen?
Yes, that's part of amateur porn.
I was like, I want to live, like, she's, like, they were just, like, on a beach house kind of thing. I was like, I want to live there. I was like, damn, this nice. But anyway, that was cool. I don't know, I just wanted to make sure we didn't skip over that that whole thing.
I think,
the sink
I'm thinking about this, and Ryan, I think she definitely knew he was recording.
Okay, I think so, too.
Because here's what I'm thinking, like, this guy is... His livelihood is squid stuff, and he shows up with a bandana, like, weird thing on his head. I think you know what's going down.
And, again, we get that line from her at the very end after the Max reveal where she's like, you know, I like to be watched. But again, it's like...
That was a pretty good impression of her.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
but again, it's like, well, let's talk about rape culture. Let's talk about, like, voyeurism. Let's talk about why a woman... would be, you know, would adapt in that way to the constant, like, looking.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking now I'm distracted thinking about all the various, like,
things you could do.
Not subtle ways that he's, like, trying to hide that he has a squid on.
He's wearing a fedora.
Yeah, he shows up with, like, a big cowboy hat.
He's like, come on. He shows up wearing Max's shitty wig. She's like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Well, he put there's a part where he puts a he has a guy he hires a guy to like squid for him to record and
yeah,
he like
oh, yeah.
he has like
that
big hair and he
wig.
Yeah he gives him like another shitty wig on top of it.
It's so funny.
He has like curly hair. Like,
why can't
he puts
they
a,
just
straight
have like a hat?
Wig on
why can't it just be like a baseball?
Well, that would
hat.
Fall off during sex. No, that one was so funny because yeah, he's got this a bunch of curly hair and then Lenny just puts a shitty
a straight,
straight-haired wig it, on top of his head.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yep, go have a threesome.
Yeah, maybe you couldn't see that on VHS that it was like a different.
There's different hair type.
Different hair.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it's
4K.
Funny.
That's
really.
Pretty
I think
funny.
It's funny in being so shitty.
What's a good? I mean, so he was probably selling like he's like, what do you want to go rollerblading on the beach and have sex with this beautiful woman? Like that was like the, that was like that tape he was selling the little porn.
Yeah.
What's like another good scenario that would be to watch?
Well, he mentions later when we think that the cops might have gotten the Jericho tape. He's like, oh, I can't believe I gave that away. It was me and Faith in a hot tub on my birthday. It was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I guess, yeah, POV, you and your hot, grody girlfriend are in a hot tub having sex.
Well, there's,
are
a,
you
there's
trying
another
to
brainstorm porn right now, Ryan?
Well, yeah, once the technology
I was trying to think of like
we have to have
yeah,
a,
we have to yeah, we
a set
yeah.
list in mind. You
I was no, just trying to think of like things that are good like that like rollerblading with your hands out and stuff and like you had the jogging with the guy. I'm just trying to think of, like other ones that are like be kind of cool.
I want there to be like a whole like weirdly normie
doesn't
side
have to, have
of
to be
things
porn.
Where
yeah.
it's like
normcore
where it's like POV
POV you
and,
order Taco Bell.
You and your girlfriend are going to the supermarket and you're thinking of making pork chops tonight.
Oh,
oh
that would
great.
Be like if this were real, that would really be the market is like
yeah,
sad right. sacks just like POV like
human connection.
A 24-hour like day in the life of like you're sitting on a couch and you have a loved one sitting next to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the other thing that in if this were real technology, one, there'd be normcore stuff. Two, there'd probably be way more snuff stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There'd well, probably be a ton of
oh,
that.
Like animal, like killing animals
just
or something.
Just because Lenny's not selling it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah, that would
know?
Be
sure
like
does,
most
yeah.
of the market.
It'd be really
is,
fucked
is
up.
Is just
stuff.
The,
well, they
the
do,
worst
well, there's
things
an interesting.
You can imagine.
I think the most interesting component about the squid stuff and seeing everything is that, like in some of the experiences he talks about having with the guy, with that client that he has in the first act of the movie, he's mm-hmm. like, you can, you know, obviously there's sex stuff, but like, you know, you don't have to be a guy in this. Scenario.
Sure, there's
like,
gender,
you could be a
there's
girl.
Trans things, there's like...
You know what would be cool is put it on an astronaut. Like, I want to feel like what it's like to
oh,
go to
yeah.
space.
But the thing with this is that that's so interesting, and it... And,
you,
and,
again,
and,
you have legs.
Yeah, the thing about this that's so interesting and really, like, it's like an onion. It's like there's so many things you can think about with this and so many implications is that you not only see and hear everything that's going on, but you feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
so
that's
feel
and that's,
peeing in the diaper as an astronaut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you, literally. You know what I mean? And it's just like that's what makes that core scene that happens, the rape POV, so upsetting because, like I said, it's like an onion. Like you keep realizing another fucked up facet to this rape scene. You know what I mean? Like she's feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's
in that
what,
scene,
that, explain
know,
what happens. That
yeah.
That
so it's the reason. I mean, obviously it's fucked up because it's a rape scene, but there's just so many layers of fucked upness on this scene.
It's
because
all, it's POV, first
it's,
off.
It's a,
yeah.
someone breaking and entering. And then like sneaking into the hotel room of the sex worker Iris
assaulting
who's trying
her.
To get Lenny's attention because she witnessed the Jericho
yeah
murder.
She's hiding out in this hotel room
and he comes into the hotel room and like handcuffs her and blindfolds her and puts a squid on her head so that she is getting, like, while she's being raped, she is getting his pleasure, and he's getting her fear, and it's all feeding
oh,
into
God.
Itself.
And she's seeing
and
him,
she's, yeah,
what
she
he's...
is seeing herself be raped.
And she's feeling
yeah.
what he's feeling as he rapes her, and it's like, that
is
so
unbelievable.
What a fucked up guy
murdered.
Wrote this. What
and
kind of fucked
really
up person
up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is the scene that, like, this is one of the most upsetting things I have ever... I can't say this
yeah.
enough.
I should have gave a trick. I didn't realize. I forgot how bad it was.
No, this... well, you know, but the... yeah. We keep on cutting during that scene to Lenny, who's watching it, and he is... so a horrified he ends up like
it's a little overacting
well, you know
I'd
but
say.
It's I understand that they are trying to emphasize that like this is exactly as horrifying as you think.
Because
well,
Ralph, that means that Ralph Fiennes is feeling what the rapist is feeling, and what
who
the
is feeling,
and what the what the woman's feeling too.
And after all of that, he like pukes up his guts. And then also when
understandable
when they show that squid to Max, who we don't yet know is rapist. His response is like, well, I don't want my Chinese food anymore. And it's like,
yeah, he's like faking it. He's like, flippant. You know what I mean? Like, he's pretending that it's upsetting him.
That it's not literally him and, you know, his own fucked up shit.
He's probably trying really hard not to just full on crank it in that moment when he's rewatching it.
He's willing down an erection. yeah, it's
pretty
real,
crazy.
Real fuck.
Great pick, Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, you had to see it. You had to look at it.
You had to see it.
You're not allowed to look away.
Yeah. I mean,
Cyber horror.
Are you mad that, you know, I mean, I don't mean to be like, what are you mad? I'm just like, is it really like, do you think
well, you
like.
You can't handle it?
I don't mean like that, but like, I don't know.
No,
like,
no, it's good. It's a good, it's effective. It's like
there's probably a reason why we haven't seen this in a movie again, you know? It's like. Right.
Yeah, I am. This is like the George Lucas after Phantom Menace. Like, I may have gone too far in.
Yeah,
some
we have
places.
Gone too far in a few places.
I mean, I will say this. Like, maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but it's not like you see like you know penetration or anything.
No,
like that,
no,
thankfully.
You see like boobs, but it's just
it's all
yeah.
face.
It's
just probably
it's pretty
worse.
It's as graphic as like an R-rated movie could get. I think.
It's still a very you understand that a rape is happening and it's. Again, upsetting.
and you can't look away.
Did we mention that she's also being like choked to death and she dies?
Oh yeah, he's like strangled.
It's also a murder,
so
by the way.
She's slowly dying,
and we see her die
while being raped, while getting all of this directly into.
Yeah,
those
are her final moments.
Hence, horror movie.
It is a horror movie. Hey, POV, you're a woman who lives in the patriarchy.
Yeah, it's nuts, and that's kind of sets off. That's kind of like. That murder is what kind of gets them to the Jericho thing too.
Yeah,
it's all web of there's a board of Charlie Day. You know,
yeah, we're just doing a board.
Yeah, but it's pretty crazy, and that's and there's a is there a set, another one before the Juliet Lewis kind of fake out, or is that the only?
Oh well, thing? We get also because the rapist murderer is leaving these really fucked up like discs for Lenny to find as he's like teasing him.
Oh.
And then he leaves one outside of his apartment. That's just POV. I broke into your apartment and I watched you sleep and I dragged like a razor blade like next to your throat. And then I left. And guess what? Like I have power over you.
I will say this for Ray Fiennes, Lenny. He should really watch these videos in a safe location, because in every moment he's like, I'll just watch
anywhere.
It right here where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's one thing. I'm wondering if, I mean, this is more of a, I guess, world technology question. Are they experiencing it faster? Is it not real time? That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know.
Because maybe it's more instant in like, it's like, because it's all mind things, you know? So maybe there's like a weird thing where it could be like, seconds in the back of the car, but he's experiencing for like a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't really say that. Unless they do.
I don't think they do.
It's kind of one of those movie things where, you know, how time is sort of like flexible in a movie.
Is one of my questions was who gave him that first. I guess you said he's leaving them, but how does he get that first clip?
That one was left at the club with just like in an envelope with his name on it for the. The guy with no legs, he's like, oh, someone
left this.
I dropped this off for you. Because, you know, it seems like he's kind of a middleman for Lenny to, like, sell the product. And also, sometimes Lenny's a nice guy and gives him some leg POVs. So that one was just, like, anonymously, someone dropped this off for you. And Lenny sees it and he's like, oh, great. Like, people sell me squids all the time. So they sell me clips all the time. Let's take a look at this. Oh, no, it's the most upsetting thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that, okay, yeah. Okay, now that was like a piece I feel like I missed, but I because I think I was just so taken by the you know him being a good guy with the legs, you know, giving it. Yeah, that's nuts. One thing. So we talked about a little bit with old Ralph getting beat up like every other scene and getting kicked out of a club. There's a kind of a funny little blooper where there's like they call her a woman and. Getting with dreads that's like beating her up, and she gets like hit in the head with like one of the swing lights by accident, I think. Oh, no. That was kind of a funny little...
The super buff woman with the...
Yeah.
Blonde dreads.
That's really... I had the vampire guy. Yeah, we kind of went through a lot of my little things I had. I don't know. What do you have, Dave? Any kind of other...
The only other thing that I of note that I had was during the reveal, where in the last act where Max reveals himself to be the killer, I thought the editing was really jarring.
Oh yeah,
that was like
weird.
Flipping around.
Well, it's like flipping.
Time.
Like you see, like there's a shot of him talking, and then you get and then it cuts in the same scene to a different angle of him talking, and back and forth, back and forth. And I didn't really understand why.
I'm wondering. Yeah, that feels like to me a mistake. Not a mistake, but like covering up something that didn't work. That to
maybe a bad take or something happened. I don't know.
If I as an editor, you don't cut to two angles that are the same, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that to me, you only do that if you don't have something else to cut to for some reason.
I think that's what it was. Because typically in this type of scene, maybe you get like a far away shot of him and then you cut to closer. Closer, eyes.
This
you
is like
I mean?
A side,
that's like the typical
though.
Thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's like a side profile view to another different side profile view.
It felt very, like, manic, and I wonder if that was the vibe they were going for, because there's already the, like,
It's almost breaking, though, like, like, eyeline stuff. It's like a,
it's
a thing where...
It's very weird. But also, this is coming right after Lenny watched the disc that he until the very end thinks is going to be the rape and murder of Faith, and so he is very clearly in a state and feeling very probably fucked up, so I don't know. Again, I think weird, but
strange days, man.
It's a strange
I wouldn't have minded it as much if there was more than the two angles. I would have gotten that vibe if there were all manner of angles you know what I mean? And you get the idea that, like, he is in shock and, like, he's not thinking clearly and stuff like that.
It's almost like, it's to me, I glad you pointed that out, because that was something that stuck out to me, too, where I was like, that feels like not, it's only happens then. It's not like a thing that happens elsewhere in the movie. So
it's only that.
So
do you know who the editor was?
No.
James Cameron.
Jimmy? Oh, of course.
Was he really?
It was him and a guy named Howard Smith, who I don't know who that guy is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think Cameron's always listed as one of the editors of his movies, I think. I think he's a guy, like, I think he's sitting there behind the person's back the whole time, basically.
Yeah, he's boss. That's his credit.
I can't imagine being the editor working on this movie and having James Cameron sitting behind me, like, micromanaging every little thing I do. Good Lord.
Well, he's... Yeah, I mean,
this probably would have been like peak him just being great to work with.
I mean, he's probably prepping old Titanic at this moment and stuff.
It was True Lies was being worked on like around the same time.
Yeah, it's just that. Like, I think there's, I mean, other than like I said, like there's a weird shuffle. I feel like that it probably, I don't know, maybe they just ran out of money or something, because it's a weird it feels to me like
they spent it all on that crowd scene.
I'm covering up like bad takes or something in that, and so but I only have like these two, like I only have these choices, and this is like the best I could do. That's what that feels like.
Yeah,
and which is weird to see in a movie like this, like this at this scale, where like you wouldn't cut to like an insert or something to cover something up. Where I'm, but this maybe not. Maybe you're right. Maybe this is a weird. Is this an artistic choice? Just a weird. I have a couple of like little things that I thought was interesting, kind of the set the stage, because this movie was a huge bomb.
Yeah.
But
budget of $42 million and box office of $8 million.
It looks like this was a deal where he was saying that to get True Lies, it was like a double deal. He's like, I'll do this if you also give Catherine the money to make this
movie. Well, this was his production company. Lightstorm Entertainment was Cameron's, or is Cameron's production company.
Mm-hmm. So what was that I saw with Fox?
Yeah, they were both part of a deal, and the financing was from the Chattopedia. Strange Days was budgeted at $30 million, and True Lies was $70 million.
Mm. Here's a question, not to throw it off, but... Do you guys think James Cameron has squid tapes of Catherine Bigelow and well, Linda Hamilton? Basically all of his ex-wives.
Well, I just, speaking of that, I just find it interesting because they were divorced in 91. So it's just, I do like that they were still... at least working buds. They're still work buds, you know?
Yeah, I don't think he does. I think he's got a lot of squid tapes of, like, Navi stuff, though.
Yeah, he's jacking into to Pandora.
Yeah, he's already.
That's exactly what
That's why he's going down so deep into the ocean. He doesn't want anyone to see.
I didn't even think Pandora tapes.
The squids are kind of similar, too, a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't even make that connection with Cameron and Avatar.
Well,
like,
this is
Avatar.
That's the whole POV, what if you had legs, right?
POV, what if you were blue?
What if you had blue legs?
Do you think Cameron's just like, damn it, like, I wanted Strange Days to work. It flopped. I'm going to bring some of these elements back.
he reuses a lot of things, you know, but so I can see
water.
That.
Yeah. He's big into water.
Something I thought was interesting, cause, so it's 95. This came out in October, October 13th, just Halloween. A couple of weeks before. September 22nd was Seven had come out and cleaned up. And I'm wondering, and that's another like very upsetting, like murder kind of mystery, neo-noir. And in like a town that does, it's like this other world city that it takes place in. And I don't know, like maybe that's just Seven kind of ate its lunch, maybe. That could be the case, maybe, with this. And because I could see, I feel like people... maybe they'd be upset watching this, but I feel like it had to do better. Like, I think just the vibes. I think it would have more of a word of mouth. Like, you got to see this fucking
thing. I think it's probably, it seems like a tough movie to market. Like, what's the angle, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anybody watch the trailer? I didn't see the trailer.
No.
Maybe it's like a really bad trailer.
Listening to
I bet it has bow to bow to bow to bow to bow.
Yeah.
I was listening to the ye olde Blank Check episode on this movie featuring Ryan's dream girl Emily Yoshida.
She's the best.
they were talking about like the, you know, the poster gives nothing away because like
it's
again, how do you market this? You're like, I don't know, here's the three leads.
Yeah, like what is it? Is it a historical drama?
Here's
like
three
what?
Hot people? Yeah. I don't
And they're
know.
Not really like huge famous people too.
Yeah,
I mean,
Juliette Lewis and Angela Bassett had both been nominated for Academy Awards at that point.
Yeah.
And Ralph Fiennes was a relatively
coming hot off Schindler's List.
New hotness. Yeah. So it's like again, you've got three beautiful people. Sure, put them on the poster. I don't know. Here's the movie. Like
yeah, and then what's this? The tagline says, "You know you want it."
Yeah, which again gives nothing away.
Yeah. It's just like it's 95.
I don't know.
Is what that gives?
It's the 90s.
I feel like I haven't watched the trailer yet, but I'm guessing that's the vibe. Is the banana banana?
The year is 1999.
Yeah, yeah. Bow da bow da bow da bow da bow da. 1999.
Oh, you know what? Like that people might have had a bad taste in their mouth for this type of movie after watching in this same year Johnny Mnemonic.
It's almost like this Johnny Mnemonic and Seven kind of combined or this movie a little bit.
Yeah.
I recently, not super recently, but I was telling a friend of mine about Johnny Mnemonic, and I was like, you know, it's not like a good movie, but I liked it a lot. And he's like, okay, cool. And he watched it, and then later was like, that was the worst fucking movie I've ever seen. I'm never
I want the cool squid video with the rollerblading lady and a big bottle of Mexican beer.
I should be like, hey, you should watch Strange Days. I will be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you should watch. If you did, I know you did. I know I'm on thin ice with the Johnny Mnemonic wreck,
don't
but trust
worry,
me,
that's
Strange
so
Days.
Better. It's just like the most
you know what?
Horrific.
I recommend it. It's like a good first date movie.
So it's your girl. Love it.
It's like, can we talk? Like the last couple of movies you've taken me to: Johnny Mnemonic, Seven, Strange Days.
I'm getting a really bad vibe. Like a really bad vibe.
What was going on in '95? Jeez.
Oh, you don't want to
know.
Also,
you were like wiggling
your
chair in a weird way during that rape scene in Strange Days. Like, it made me really uncomfortable.
What else was 95?
Why?
Yeah, what a weird... Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I just thought I think it was just a bad time. It kind of
is it
dropped.
Nine Inch Nails? Is it just their fault? Like Nine Inch Nails blew up, and everyone's like, "All right, we're going full goth for a couple years.
We're gonna get grody with it."
Just everything needs to look like a Nine Inch Nails music video.
What was yours? The Craft. That one. That was also 96.
Yeah.
I was 96. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were done with techno by then. And then no, that went all the way to Wachowskis came back in.
Yeah, the Wachowskis saved us all. They brought back the
beautiful young Keanu, and we're like, you will be the savior.
And Rage Against the Machine, too. Can't forget their role.
Yeah. Oh, come on!
I think it's a good... I think summation of this movie is bang, 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 bang. I love that. Yeah, I mean, I think it could, it probably, I don't know, maybe it needed like one other little sci-fi thing to it, I think.
It did need more, it needed less. There was too much in the movie.
It just needed like a little more paprika.
Too many ingredients.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is like a Portland burrito. The ingredients are all in there. They just don't mesh together. I don't know why, but that's
I like the idea, but I love everything
in here. I love what's going on. There's like, you know, I like the people involved. There's good actors. I
love the spirit, but
like the salsa is kind of bland. I don't know. Like there's just things that are missing, you know. But
well, I feel like this could have been way more effective. Like I feel like there's a good 2-hour movie in here somewhere. You know what I mean? Like that moves a lot faster.
And
that
I
gets
don't
to those
think
things
like
quicker.
Even I might be one of the more negative. I mean, it's not a bad movie. Like, it's not like this is like an abject failure or anything like that.
It's just a lot of movies.
It's just a lot.
I would say I think it's a little bit of a failure, but like but I don't know. I still like
movies that fail.
Yeah, I think
at least it's an ambitious failure, mm-hmm. kind
of. Yeah, I'd give it 3 out of 5, but I think it could be a 3.5 or 4 star if you did a recut or something.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably go higher just because I love a freaking Southland Tales like this. It's these freaking crazy things, and you're just like, how did they? I can't believe they made this. How did she make a movie again after this? Like,
you
it's
know,
just nuts.
I'd give it a full extra star just for Angela Bassett's arms.
Oh yeah,
she's jacked.
She beats the hell out of those guys.
Yeah, and then you see her arms, and you're like, oh yeah, she would beat the shit out of someone.
She doesn't get too much of it. There's little sprinkles of her backstory because that's how they show how she met freaking Ralph.
And yeah,
he was taking care of her when something bad
back when he was a good cop.
When he was a good cop,
yeah, it's a little copagandy.
Who looked after her son when her husband did something
sex crimes?
Bad,
I think is the implication.
I feel like
because he was on the vice squad.
Well, it was even implied. I feel like that it was like squid related, whatever the husband was doing.
But and there was also the line where it's like, how could you do that in front of our son?
Yeah, but it's like Mace throughout the movie is like, I have never put a squid on. Like, it's disgusting.
Oh, yeah,
to
it's
me.
Like something.
Like,
yeah.
All of that is just like sick. So I don't know. That's all very like cloudy. But she was helped at some point by Lenny, and now he gets to be a not very good friend to her.
did they mention why he left the police ever?
He was, quote, shit canned by the good cop commissioner for some reason.
The tight ass.
I guess maybe he was starting to get involved in, like, illegal squid stuff when he was still on Vice.
Yeah. All right, Lenny, come into my office. We saw the rollerblading video. You gotta go.
We've noticed your increasingly silly hats you've been wearing into work.
You're not subbing.
We know you're making squid videos of you doing paperwork at the office, and we can't abide that.
POV, I'm stealing coke from the you know, lockup.
What if that was one of the squid videos he makes? Like, it's not of him doing busts or anything as a cop. It's just like the mundane cop stuff, like filling out reports.
Yeah, this would be like a lo-fi squib to chill to or whatever.
POV eating donuts as a cop.
POV eating donuts.
That guy, the commissioner. Keep an eye out for that guy, the actor Joseph Sommer. I think they say.
Is he going places?
That young guy?
No, just within our series. I think keep an eye out for him.
Okay.
Palmer Strickland.
I know him as Mr. Ducksworth from the Mighty Ducks.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Quack quack quack.
Oh, I think I know what you might be alluding to.
Oh man, this guy's been working forever.
I just it's like funny. I was like, is that the same guy? but anyway,
he will be a bit younger when we next see him.
But I thought for a second that was one of the guys from RoboCop.
for a second too.
Oh, one of the like old men.
Yeah, like one of the guy that's the at
board
the
member
end,
guys.
The,
yeah.
What's your name, son? I thought it was that guy.
But. RoboCop.
RoboCop.
Now, that's a movie. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're all. Robert I think we're Cop. All kind of landing around the same, like a three and a half out of five. It sounds.
I'd probably go. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's like a three, and I'd probably put a three and a half. I think I'd maybe just because I like the Envision probably a little higher, but it's just more of like a, it's like a Pitchfork 7.7 or something, you know, like a higher up.
Are they still
not
around?
Quite an eight, but I do like it, and I'm just yeah, I just it's one that like didn't exist, and I feel like just I feel like you couldn't watch it for a long time. Like there wasn't really
yeah, it wasn't very available until like very recently.
And now it's like easy to stream and stuff, and which I bet a lot of people have probably watched it. I bet you people are like, "Wow, this movie's crazy."
Well, I mean, if any, like everything else we've done, it'll get the Apocalypse Video bump.
Yeah, it'll get an Arrow release any day now. You know, I recommend it to weird sick fucks out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, any
you know?
Sickos out there, you know.
If you like sicko. James Cameron, like I do, you know, then give it
he
a shot.
Johnny
it's part
Mnemonic.
Of his repertoire. And, yeah, and, you know, just down the road, and a few years later, you know, old Kathy Bigelow and James went head-to-head at the Oscars, and she won, you know? She beat him out for the Hurt Locker not too long after that.
What was he
it's
with?
It's kind of...
It was Avatar.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first Avatar. Oh. I gotta say, like, I haven't seen The Hurt Locker since theaters, and there was a lot of buzz around it at the time that seemed like kind of tapered off, like in the years to follow. I remember liking that movie, but like that made me so happy when he lost the Oscar and she won for Hurt Locker. I was like, yeah,
it just feels right.
Yeah,
like it makes me want to go and watch the footage of the Oscars where you see like
I bet he
the
was
faces.
Stoked, you know, he won
well,
already.
He
was king
sure
of the world
happy,
already, you know.
He was already king of the world. So, yeah,
I think the
true.
Footage is him wiping his tears with $1,000 bills.
And he said, and he can chuckle like, "All right."
I
Kathy.
Was gonna say, yeah, I want to watch the footage of like the heads in each of the panels, you know, as they reveal the winner, and like was he immediately like, "Oh," or was he like, "Oh, well, good for her." It's like I'm curious what his reaction was. Because there have been some videos, like not to get too on a tangent here, we're trying to wrap up the episode, but I can't remember what it was. I feel like it might have been Samuel Jackson was nominated one year, and when they announced the winner, he was like, "Fuck!" Like he literally, like in his little face panel on the screen, he's like, "Damn it!" You know what I mean?
I mean, why not? Yeah, that's probably how I would feel.
Well, yeah, you want to win.
Yeah, I mean, the director of this movie is the first woman to win Best Director at the Oscars. So I'm just saying,
and,
there's something
yeah.
here.
Hey, I'll go to bat for old Kathy.
But it's funny.
Movie,
I feel
but, you know. I
she think... makes a lot of Apocalypse Video movies. I feel like did we ever mention like Near Dark at some point? I feel
that's
like
that's one we need to do in the future.
Like that's
yeah.
another one.
Yeah, I heard
like,
that, I heard that I mean, one's for sickos too.
Point Break.
That's
point
another
sicko. Can't forget. So, already done.
Point Break. Yeah. Well, she's a. I mean, and then she has kind of these like war thrillers that are just like. I want to watch some
dad movies. But.
That's the thing where I'm like, I'm very glad she won for Hurt Locker. I have no desire to ever watch that movie because, like, who the fuck cares?
That's the thing. Yeah, I remember liking
bad.
It at the time,
I
but like, I felt
care.
No.
I bet I might like it more than I.
It's good. Saw. Like the well, what I remember is like kind of like with Point Break and this, like the bomb diffusion stuff is very visceral and exciting. But that's like all I remember yeah. from the movie.
I just have. Negative
you remember,
interest in modern war movies because there's it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
who am I rooting for here? The U.S. government?
Well, it's like we're
yeah.
Well, it's like we're also so hit with it every day, especially during that period when
oh,
it came
yeah.
out, like in Afghanistan and everything, where it's just like fuck.
I bet with
that.
Time it's
you
probably
can't
better
make me root for the U.S. military.
I don't even know if you're racist. Supposed to in that
you
in
can't
that
make
movie.
Me root for that
because
you get World War II. That's it.
Remember, Kate was in that one, Mike. Old Evangeline Lilly herself.
Oh
you know?
Wow!
She was the at the end in the grocery
Wait, I'm
store.
I'm sorry.
With the...
There are women in the Hurt Locker. Do they? Sorry.
Who do you think gets hurt?
Do you know if they ever like speak to each other about any? Do they have names?
I think she's probably the only woman in the whole
other?
Movie. I
do
think.
They talk about anything that's not. In there?
They talk about their big.
I'm
strong,
looking at the cast list, and she is the only woman.
Again, I'm glad that. Catherine Bigelow is
oh,
Ray Fiennes
is in that too.
Works, and I think her perspective on like male relationships is very interesting. The gender, though. The gender of it all.
She does like working with the dudes. She's a... I don't know. Her movies are very dude.
Maybe that's what gets greenlit.
Well, yes. That is the short answer of it, honestly.
Like, is anyone going to see the movie of two women, or are they going to see the movie of Patrick Swayze and...
And Keanu. Obviously, you're going to see that one. They're surfing. They're beautiful. It's...
I mean, you got... K-19, you know, that's old Harrison Ford.
But, you know, it's...
Zero Dark Thirty, I guess, is, you know...
A woman does, kill Bin Laden or whatever.
Chastain.
Yeah. But I'm not going to watch the movie.
Did a woman kill Bin Laden?
No, but she's, part of the squad. I don't know. Again, I'm not going to watch this movie and be like, I love when the U.S. military does stuff.
Well, usually when we get off track, we're talking about movies we want to see. Now we're off track about movies we don't want to see, which is unusual.
I would, at the end of the day, recommend Strange Days, even though it is very tough to watch in many ways.
I think pour yourself a stiff drink or whatever you like to have. And
yeah, it's a acquired taste for sure, but it's not one I'm just glad we finally got the kind of cover.
Yeah,
just
I'm glad we're talking about it.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Have you had a bad day? Watch Strange Days.
It'll be worse.
It'll make you feel worse.
Look up Google image search.
They kiss at the end.
Angela Bassett, beautiful arms. It'll be okay.
They kiss at the end and it's happy, hopefully.
That one outfit where it's the tank top that's showing her arms that with cool pants and her braids look so cool. Anyway, I'm just in love with Angela Bassett.
I mean, the only piece of costuming I can't forget is the chain link
dress. And honestly, we didn't mention it, but Ralph Fiennes is scumbag wardrobe of
the tie comes into play.
Comes into play, but also his open shiny shirts and his leather pants. He looks so scummy. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, the whole deal with the ties. Freaking old JC, he knows how to set something up, make it pay off.
Speaking of JC in the writing, as we're heading out, I did just want to shout out one more.
Kill him.
We didn't really get into it, but the Jericho One character, as written, is so embarrassingly lazily on the nose.
I didn't like the song.
No, because really. It wasn't a
song. It wasn't
song.
Even like a song.
It was
like
a white person's
sort of
imagining
like...
of what would a black person say here? But one of the quotes,
a little
and
rough.
I don't know if this
at least
was
it's quick.
From the Jericho rapping that were shown, or if this was from the before the cops kill him. But this line, you love that red, white, and blue, but you hate that black, black, black. Whoa!
That's I mean,
this is written by white people.
What can you say?
They should have just put that on the poster.
Yeah, it is a rough one. That I would say that was one of my notes, but I skipped it. Was that's a rough song.
I'm just imagining the actor, oh, James Cameron wrote this. All right, so what are my lines?
All right. Well, let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, he made Terminator.
There's another writer on it too that did a lot of Scorsese movies. It looks like the other writer on it. Crazy. Anyway. Put it on the shelf, Dave. Put it on the shelf.
Put it back.
put it back.
Well, that'll do it for this installment of the Apocalypse Video Shocktober Spooktacular Cyber Edition. When we return, we'll be closing out the month with 1975's. Let me do it in the voice of that guy. We'll be doing it in 19. We'll be closing out the month with 1975's The Stepford Wives.
Can you please get a lozenge, my friends?
What do you mean? This is just how I talk.
Need something to drink?
get me a squid of someone who speaks normally.
POV,
I want to see what
you're
it feels
having
like.
A nice beverage. Soothing to your throat.
Thanks. Assassin database.
Well, I lost my appetite for about a year.